start off by asking a question, maybe two questions. When was the last time that you pursued something? That you pursued something maybe even relentlessly, and I know for me the last time was when I decided, I mean it's maybe not the last time, but it's one of the ones that's really prominent in my mind, was when I decided to go back to school. And when I decided to steer the direction of my life to be a little bit different and steer toward going back to college, it meant I was going to have to stop some of the teaching that I was doing. I was going to have to change around my schedule. I was going to have to quit a job and make space for this, make time. And it meant that I had to pour myself into it if I was going to do it and do it well, because school's not cheap these days. I wanted to get it done in a timely manner. And that meant really pursuing it, really putting everything into it, so that there wasn't, so that it wasn't just something I did on the side, but it was really where I put the bulk of my effort into putting it back into going back to school. And so I just wonder, when was the last time that you felt like you pursued something? And then the second part is, when was the last time that you felt like you were being pursued? Felt like you allowed yourself to be pursued? I was watching this week, I got the chance to watch the kids in Bible study while they were doing women's Bible study. I had the kids over there, and there were about, four or five kids. And I had some activities planned, and I had some games, and we did some Bible teaching, and we did songs and everything. But by far the favorite activity was chasing each other around the room in a circle. And, you can play it all you want, but there's about nothing better than that activity. And they loved that. And the thing was, is I loved the excitement that followed in being chased, in being sought after. And I just wonder that not only when was the last time we pursued, but when was the last time we felt sought after, that we felt like we were being chased, like we were being pursued, or we allowed ourselves to even feel that way. Well, we're going to be talking about these things for the next couple of weeks, and this week is going to be based on the first part of that discussion, or those questions, the pursuing of something. Next week, we're going to talk about being pursued. This is going to be about the relentless pursuit of God, both his pursuit of us and ours of him. Last week, we talked about roots. A lot of excitement next door. Last week we talked about roots, the idea of the roots going down deep into Christ, planting our roots down deep in him in order to search for that life-sustaining water, to get that life source, to seek it out. And the idea was that as we seek out, as we strive outward with the roots, and as they press past obstacles and past dry places and past all of these things to seek out the water source, that they create a foundation. That really they begin to create a network that's not only going to supply water whenever it needs and whatever season it is, but it's also going to provide stability for the tree or the plant that's going to be growing. And so the idea is that as we plant our roots down into God, we begin more and more not only to create different resources, different ways of reaching out to God in different moments in our lives, in different places, depending on where we are, but also that we are planted strong so that no matter what comes, wind, rain, storms, good times and bad times, we're able to stand firm. And that was the imagery that we used last week. Where I want to go with this today is the next step with that, which is that we have to not just plant our roots and put them down, but sometimes we're going to have to strive for those sources, for that water source. We mentioned a little bit about that last week. Sometimes we have to seek him out. Sometimes we have to long for him. There's a saying that I'm sure you've heard before that says, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And I don't know, to me that's a very misleading statement. It almost said as if it's a good thing to be apart. And it's a good thing for us to be separated because then it'll make the heart grow fonder, as if it's something we should seek after. I think more it's that having to be pulled away from something that you desire to be very close to. I think of it as if we are, our heart wants to be, is being pulled towards something. We want to pull toward this thing, but life or circumstances are pulling us away from it, and it creates this strain, creates this pull, this distance that causes us to seek out even more, to desire even more, to want even more, to look forward to that thing because we've been desiring it and we're being pulled away from it. That's where we're going to be camped out today. If you have your Bibles with me, now would you turn with me to Psalm 42? We're going to have a tiny, tiny anchor scripture today, a little bitty one. Two verses. It's Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. It says, as a deer thirsts for streams of water, so I thirst for you, God. I thirst for the living God. Where or when can I go to meet with him? I'm going to read that again. As a deer thirsts, some translations will say pants, for streams of water, so I thirst for you, God. I thirst for the living God. When can I go and meet with him? Now, I love word pictures. I like the way that they're able to describe sometimes intangible things or things that are a bit esoteric or hard to put our finger on with very tangible, realistic things that we encounter every day. I love that. I love the idea of it because it makes concepts a bit more accessible, and it allows us to see them in a much deeper way than just saying the thing blanket straight out. I mean, Jesus, we see him using these kind of tools. We see him speaking in parables, using word pictures, using imagery to describe things. I know Jesus, he says one time that we want to describe the kingdom of God, and he says the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Now, I don't know about you, but when I first read that, I thought, okay, that's great, but I don't really know what a mustard seed is or what it looks like. And it says, you know, it starts off, it's the smallest of all seeds, and then it grows into a big tree. And I still didn't really know what that looked like. But as you go and find the mustard seed, and you go and look at how tiny it is, and then you look at a picture or go see one about how it grows and how big that seed grows, suddenly the imagery of this is what the kingdom of God like starts to take on a new shape. Starts to take on more meaning than just saying the kingdom of God starts off kind of small, but then it grows and blossoms into something really big. But there's something about that imagery, that word picture, that has it take on a deeper meaning. For me, it's something that I can lock onto and I remember so much better than just the fact alone. It's a tool I've used so much in my teaching with my students that it's That's probably, if you asked my students, my number one teaching device is using some kind of word picture. What is the word picture that's being used here in the psalm? It says, as a deer thirsts for streams of water. What is that called? It is, yeah, a simile. I knew you'd know, Nancy. It's a simile. That's right. Yeah, any as or like. The thing is it's using one thing to describe another. And just like the mustard seed, it's important that you have to understand the thing that's being compared to before you can understand the thing itself. And so we have to figure out here, how does a deer thirst for water? What is the author here trying to convey that he can't convey by just saying, I really thirst for you, God. I really long to be with Jesus. What is the extra imagery that's being conveyed here? What do we need to understand? Because there's a reason he doesn't just go out and say it. One, it's poetry. But two, it's describing something in a greater detail that I hope will lock into your heart the way it kind of has into mine. So I'm going to point out four things, and I'm just going to start off by pointing them out, and then we're going to break them apart as we go through. Four things about how a deer pants for water. And I hope as I'm going through these that they might be something that you can lock onto in your own life to see how, not just a deer pants for water, that's not the point of the sermon, but how we are to thirst for God. So the first thing is this, to a deer and to any animal, including us. Water is life. Without water, you can't live, you can't sustain, you can't go very long. You can go for a short time period, but eventually, you're going to have that water. And when you do, you're a single-minded individual. That's the thing you're looking for. Nothing else is going to take its place. Nothing else is important. You're going after the water. The second thing is this. Since a deer's water is life, their life revolves around getting water, getting to it. We'll talk more about that later. Third, the deer, I kind of already said this one, I guess, the deer can't stray too far from the source without really becoming in serious danger. Dehydration sets in, and eventually death. It can't stray too far from the source. And the fourth thing is that the watering hole, the place where the deer gets water, is often the place where lots of animals get water. And it's also, because of that, it can be a dangerous place. It can be a place that's targeted a lot of times by predators. It can be a place, you've seen these nature documentaries where the predators lie in wait just at the water's edge and the animals come down to take a drink. It's laying in wait and waiting to spring. So to a deer, water is life. A deer's life revolves around getting water. The deer can't stray too far from the source or it becomes dangerous. And sometimes just trying to get to the water can be dangerous in itself. So that's where I want to start today. As a deer thirsts for streams of water, so I thirst for you, God. So I thirst for the living God. When can I go and meet with him? See, when the deer gets to the point of panting, when the deer gets to the point of thirsting, not just going in and filling up all the time, but when the deer gets to that point, everything else should be put on the back burner. Everything else is going to become secondary to getting that life-sustaining water, to finding that water. All that's said is that, you know, I must find water. I've got to get to the source. I've got to find water. I've got to get to that. Everything is driving. Your mind becomes, that's the focus. This is the relentless pursuit. This is the drive, the way that we're supposed to be seeking after God. With that kind of single-minded focus sometimes where we're just driven to seek after him and to find him. And I see this in Jesus. We understand in Jesus' life that his task was to go out and to seek and to save the lost and to lead the people and to preach God's word and to preach the message that the kingdom of God is here and it's coming and it's now and it's delayed, but it's around us and it's come to you. And that was his mission, and he went out to do it, and yet I see him in the middle of sermons and in the middle of preaching or right after something big, but what does he do? He retreats. He says he'll retreat off to be by himself, or he would retreat away from the crowds, or he would pull back away. Why? To go and find time to be with his Father, to go and find time to be with the source, because yes, he had a mission, yes, he had a goal. He had a message he had to preach. But without that time of going back to the source, not just as a side thing, not just as part of his regular day, but as an intentional, single-minded drive saying, I must get with my Father. I must get back to that source and let it breathe and speak and pour back into him. See, everything else, when you need God, when you need that closeness, when you need that nourishment and that sustaining, everything else pales in comparison to finding the water. This is the chasing after the things that really matter the most. This is that kind of relentless pursuit that he says in the psalm, when can I go? When can I go and meet with him? Seeking after him constantly, always being mindful of that need, as a deer is for water. So that's the relentless pursuit, the drive, the pull. Let's talk about some of the other areas, though. One of my favorite scriptures that talks about water in the New Testament, I always like to see how some of the things that Jesus does in the New Testament and says parallel some of the things that we see in the Old Testament. And so we have this imagery here of not just needing water or getting it, but thirsting after it. And not just thirsting for any water, but thirsting for the living God. Do you notice the wording there? He says it twice. You know, I thirst after God. Wait, I mean the living God. It's almost as if a side note he wants to say, listen, it's more than just anything. It's the one thing. And so there's this picture in John 4 of Jesus talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And she's come now from her city to draw out water from the well. And this would have been a regular task that they did every day. Sometimes maybe more than once a day if they needed it. And she goes out to the water and she gets a drink from the well, and Jesus comes down and sits beside her and says, would you pour me a drink? And they get into this big discussion, and he says, the water that you have, you're going to be thirsty again. But the water that I have to give you is the living water. Anyone who drinks of this water will never be thirsty again. And I think he's right to point out that she has all the water she needs. She has all kinds of water around her, all of the different, I mean, she can come and get the well water anytime she needs it. But it's not the water that's going to sustain her. It's not the water that's going to really satisfy her, the kind that's going to carry her through. He says, you have water everywhere, but it's not the kind that you actually need. What you need is spiritual water. The water, this kind of water, you'll keep coming back and you'll be thirsty again and again. But what I'm offering you is different. This water will sustain you. It'll carry you through. And you know, once you have real water, once you have the real source, once you have the real thing, nothing else can quite satisfy you. Nothing else is quite going to quench that desire, that thirst. I think those of you that know me well, or maybe not even know me well, know that I really like coffee. It's probably one of my favorite things to enjoy. People always give me a hard time when they come over to my house, and I have one, two, three or four coffee pots set up around the table. So I really like coffee. I enjoy it a lot. I also really like to go camping and to go out into the wilderness, but that creates a bit of a problem for me because I really like coffee. But going camping makes getting coffee really tricky. It's not easy anymore. It's a bit of a challenge, and I know there's been times when I've gone. I remember once particularly going with Amy, and we went camping, and I forgot to bring any coffee. I didn't bring anything with me. And I think the only thing that we could find was somewhere in the car we had one of those Starbucks Frappuccino, glass jar things that has, it's coffee, sort of, has coffee in it and all of that. And I remember I needed the unfortunate side effect of liking coffee a lot is that you really need caffeine. And I remember feeling like I needed the caffeine. I was starting to get a pretty bad headache. It had been a better part of the day, and I still hadn't had any. So I went, and I drank this Frappuccino thing, and I remember thinking, well, the headache's gone. Boy, I'd really like some coffee. Because it had like the quick fix. I mean, it had the caffeine in it. Have you ever taken the caffeine tablets? If you're on a long trip, they used to make something. I did this in college all the time. You'd take the caffeine tablets. They have caffeine in them. But it is not a cup of coffee. I'm sorry, I don't take that and feel refreshed and wonderful now. I've gotten what I need. See, once you know the thing that you really want, the thing that you really desire, those kind of substitutes, those things that they give you what you really need right now, it's not enough. That's not enough to really give you what you're after, actually seeking after. There really isn't any substitute for those things. And you see, that's what I'm talking about with the deer. It's not just about getting the temporary needs met. It's not about just getting a quick fix, about getting comfortable or getting some of your desires reached. It's about getting to that thing that's going to sustain you. The deer may be able to go and find a little droplet here or a droplet there, or maybe a tiny little trickle off the side of a rock. But if it can get to that source, if it can get to a giant pool of water where it can lap up and really fill itself up, it's not going to seek after the quick fix. It's not going to seek after the temporary little thing. It's going to go after the source, the sustaining thing. It's that same idea we talked about last week with the roots, that seek out those things that are going to give you life-sustaining power and putting out a network that you know is going to be able to support you. And whatever you're called to do, in each of us, if you're a believer, each of us has been tasked with a specific function, with a specific purpose here on the earth. We all have a job to do. We all have a calling on our lives. And no one can accomplish those tasks apart from Jesus. That's why he says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. See, we need to recognize when we're getting apart from God. We need to recognize when things are becoming strained. To be able to recognize when our lives have just gotten so busy, so full, so pulled in so many different directions that we're not getting back to that source. When we're just settling for quick fix, or we're settling for, well, I can get a little bit over here. I can get something that I need. It'll at least satisfy me for a little bit. We need to be able to recognize dehydration when it hits. Something I'd mentioned last week was, if you talk to nutritionists or doctors and you ask about the idea about being thirsty or water, how much water you should drink, they'll always tell you that by the time you feel thirsty, it's already gone too far. I mean, it's not life-threatening, but you're already at the point of beginning dehydration if you're already thirsty. The man says in the psalm that in the same way I thirst for you, the same way that the deer is now panting for water, thirsting, that's the imagery, right? It doesn't say the deer really likes water. It says the deer thirsts, pants. It says that's the same way that he thirsts for you. It means, and you can, if you read on in the psalm, you see this, that there's been something in his life that's pulled him away from God, that's kept him from being able to get close to God. Otherwise, why would he say, when can I go to meet with you? It goes on to say in the psalm, it says, people are always saying to me, where is your God? If I think about why they might say that, he's in some kind of trouble, some kind of problem, and people look at him and say, well, where is your God now? He says, God, I thirst for you. I long to be near you. I need you. The remedy to this, of not letting it get too far, is, of course, to say, as Paul says, well, pray without ceasing, and in all things give thanks. And I don't mean to be flippant about any of that, but that's all very idealistic. And it's good. I'm an idealistic person. I wouldn't have planted the church if I wasn't idealistic. I think that all of us, it would be impossible to be a believer if you weren't idealistic, if you didn't believe in something else that was something greater that was driving all of this. I can't imagine even trying to be a Christian without being idealistic. To pray without ceasing, that's the goal. It is. It's our striving point. But there are going to be things that compete for our time with God. There are going to be things that want to circumvent our prayer life, that want to circumvent our quiet time, our relationship with Him, our thoughts on Him throughout the day. As I said earlier, the watering hole, it's a dangerous place. If a predator wants to attack, that's usually the place that they're going to look at first, because they know the animals are coming there. Wherever that place is in your life, that place where you go to get the source, maybe it's in the morning retreating, maybe it's in the afternoon, in the evening, maybe it's sprinkled throughout the day. Wherever it is that you go to get that source, think about how often that is challenged. Think about how often that comes under attack. Maybe it's just with easy distractions. Maybe it's just with busy scheduling. But how often is that a source where there's something trying to fight against it, trying to push back against it, trying to attack that time or that moment with whatever it is? Sometimes these things are, we can control them. Sometimes they're things like schedules that we can just adjust. Sometimes they're sin patterns that we wish we could just push away. Other times they're things that are a little bit out of our control. I don't know about you, but many has been the morning that I've woken up and said, I'm going to have my quiet time. And I go, and somehow that's the alarm clock for my kids that say, I'm going to come up too. Can I have quiet time with you? Okay. It's not quiet time, just so you know. It's like talking question time, which is great. I love it. And I love being able to spend that time with my kids. But it's also one of those things that pulls, that tugs at my heartstrings, tugs at the daddy in me that wants to be able to spend that time. It's hard. The point is, in these moments, when the idealistic turns into the realistic, we need to be aware of our deep need for Christ. We need to be aware in those moments and recognize what thirst for what it is. That it's a need for that life-sustaining element. That's what the water is for the deer. It's the difference between life and death. And sometimes in our life, you know, we can get so busy searching after all the other things, searching after whatever is, whatever we feel like we need to do, whatever is really going to maybe be profitable or whatever is going to give us the most security or comfort, and we can get so caught up in searching after things, maybe just doing the day-to-day stuff and keeping up with the house or the kids or the laundry or keeping up with going to the store or whatever it is that needs to be done. Sometimes we can get so caught up in that we miss the things that give us true life, that we miss the things that are at the source, and we end up just settling for little drops of water here and there. Don't get me wrong. These will sustain for a while, but they're not the same as going to the source and drinking deeply. The irony is that the time with God will often have to be sought after instead of the things that the world may say that we need, that we have to seek after Him instead of those things, not during those things and with those things. And don't get me wrong about the praying without ceasing. I don't mean that we can't do that. It's not possible. It's possible. But it's work. And it is something we have to strive for and challenges us and push past every day, all the time. It's not something we can say, well, that's going to be my goal. And I get it. And I achieve it. I prayed one day without ceasing. Got it. Now I'm good to go. I can do it next day. You're going to have to do it again the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And there'll come a moment when all of a sudden you realize, oh my goodness, I'm not doing that. I got distracted with all this stuff. Then it's not that you should feel bad when that happens, but it's that you want to recognize, boy, I've gotten away from God a little bit. Let me go back and I'm going to take some time here just for a few minutes and really soak up the water. Wouldn't it be great, though, if the deer could just stand next to the water source all the time? I mean, once you have that water source, once you know where it is, why would you ever leave? I mean, if that's the life-sustaining thing that the deer needs, why would you ever leave? Well, that's the absence makes the heart grow fonder kind of thing. The desire to stay, but the knowledge that things are going to pull you away. We can't just sit in our house and have our quiet time for 24 hours or for 16 hours or for 5 hours, sometimes not even for 2 hours, whatever it is. We can't do it all day, right? That's not realistic. It's going to be pulled away. But that going to the source, like the deer has to, he has to know where the physical location of the water is. It's not enough just to have a picture of water in his mind or to have some, he has to know where the physically is. That's really the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, isn't it? I mean, that's one of the biggest differences. And when the man that writes the psalm here says, when can I go to meet with God? See, in the Old Testament, God dwelt in a place. People would go, they would seek God. They would go to the place where God was. And they'd seek him out. But in the New Testament, the dwelling place of God is within us, is in the hearts of the believers, in the church. We no longer have to go to a specific location, have to go to a temple to seek God. I love the church, but you don't have to come to church to seek God. You can seek God everywhere. The church is the place for us to gather and seek God corporately. It's the place for us to come and worship corporately and us to embolden each other in the body and to bring up and encourage new believers. But it's not the place that you have to come to seek God. You can come here to seek God, but you don't have to. Jesus changed all of that. We no longer have to go and have a priest lead us. We no longer have to go and bring sacrifices in order to come before God. Jesus did all of that. All of that's been handled ahead of time. Why? So that we now have access to God here, within us, whenever we want, all the time, wherever we are. It doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter if they say, well, the ark's over here. I love that, the chasing after the ark in the Old Testament. But now it's localized. It's within each of us. And we can reach out to it at any time we want. And you know, Jesus, he talking to the woman at the well in John 4, I'm going to come back to that story. And he says, if you drink from this water, you're never going to go thirsty again. What does he mean by that? Well, I don't know this, but I think that he means that once you have that water, there's no need for you to ever be disconnected from it again. There shouldn't be a reason that you need to step away from the watering hole, to step away from it and keep having to come back and forth and back and forth, that once you have it, you'll never be thirsty again because God has come near to you rather than you having to always draw near to him. We're going to talk more about that next week. And I don't know about you, but I feel like sometimes I won't say we, I'll say I lose a little something without the idea of having to physically go to a temple, without actually having to go and see God. That there's something about that pull of I need to get up and get in my car or get my clothes on and get ready and walk to this place where I'm going to go. There's something about that that really does focus us. That means we're being intentional about the purpose, why we're headed, right? I mean, if I say, when I get up to go to church in the morning and get ready to come to church, I'm being very intentional about what I'm doing. I'm not just sitting around in my house and waiting. You know, there's everything that I do during the day is focusing me, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go meet with God today. But I don't know about you, but I don't always do it that intentionally in my own regular everyday life. On Sundays, I get up with a focus and a purpose, and this is what I'm going to go do. The rest of the week, I'm not always as purposeful and intentional, saying, this is the time I'm going to go meet. This is the moment or the place where I'm going to go. I think you can lose a little bit of desire, a little bit of the idea that we need to seek him that same way because he's so near to us. And it's easy to become lackadaisical with it, to just say, well, he's near me. I can go anytime I want. It's very easy. The reality is, he doesn't want us to seek him any less than when they had to go to a place physically to seek him. It's easy when you have something so accessible to sometimes take it for granted. I was thinking this morning about this, and as I was brushing my teeth. All right, so we'll just go for that. So I was brushing my teeth, and I was sitting there turning on the water and turning off the water and brushing my teeth and turning the water on again and turning the water off again, and I realized, well, it's very easy to get water here. I just turn it off, turn it back on again. It's no big deal. I take that for granted. I don't know about you. I take how easy it is to get water for granted all the time. I don't even think about it. You go in, you turn it on. It's not that way everywhere. And it's certainly not that way for the deer. In other places in the world, this is a daily task. It's not something you just go out, you go into your bathroom and turn on the water or go to your sink. This is a task. This woman at the well was doing a task, going and seeking and drawing up water and taking it back. And it is a chore. And not only is it a chore, but it's something that you can't just ignore. You can't just say, I'll get to that later. It's the thing that's going to sustain you. It's the thing you have to have. You can't put it off. You can't make it like it's no big deal. You have to go. And your life in that kind of situation revolves around going to get water. It is part. It's not the only thing you have to do. But it is integrated into your life so that it's something you intentionally, physically turn your body, your life, everything toward that purpose. I need to go get water. You're not doing it. I don't know if you've ever carried water. It's not light. A bucket of water weighs a lot. You're not doing other things and getting water. You're not getting water and getting groceries and getting this and cooking and talking with your friends and do it. You're getting water. It weighs a lot. You're going to want to get back to where you're going. See, that idea of it revolving around it, that's really it. You may go out and do other things. Your life revolves around that. And the Samaritan woman, she's going back and forth and back and forth to gather the water. And Jesus says, look, what would it be like if you didn't have to go back and forth and back and forth to gather that water? What if you had access to that water any time you wanted? You would never need to be thirsty again, right? You would never need to get to that point of dehydration. You would never need to get to that point of a reminder of, boy, I'm really thirsty. I need to get some water. Because you're connected to it. Think what that meant to her. It meant freedom. It meant the opportunity to do more with life than just seek water, but to have that accessibility, to have that draw, but not to seek it with any less intention, not to seek it with any less fervent attitude, not to seek it with any less single-mindedness, still to seek after it with everything and to take advantage of the fact that we have it right there wherever we need it. For the deer, there may be dry spells. There may be times, we talked about it last week, where the water may dry up a little bit in some places. We're not going to always feel like we are just being poured into by God. And that everything we ask God for, it's right there. It's available every single time. It's not like that. There are times we're going to have to seek after him, and there's times we're going to have to just be patient and wait because we know that the rain is coming again. It may take longer. But remember, those times of drought, those times of dry spells, that's when the roots really, really start striving out, trying to reach forward to find even more water. That's when growth happens. That's when stability is increased. It's not like that all the time. There may be times when the watering hole gets smaller and smaller, and there may be times when there's animals and things waiting to attack at that source. And it's in those times that the animals need to be cautious, to be careful. Make sure they don't let that keep them from water, but they understand how they need to approach it. There may even be times when the deer has to be away for extended periods, but he knows he can't get too far away, because too far becomes kind of dangerous. The thirst increases. So that's where I want to close today, is the idea that we are to relentlessly pursue the thing that matters the most, to pursue God. We have access to him all the time. It's so easy for me, and I know for others as well, to get distracted, to get caught up, to get busy, not to realize that we're thirsty, to realize that we have access to that life-giving water all the time. So I go back to my earlier question. When was the last time you pursued something? The way that a deer thirsts after water, so my heart thirsts for you, God. And not just anything will do. The living God. The real water. The real thing. Not just anything will suffice. Let's pray.